Chapter 25, The High Priesthood of Jesus. Jesus' ministry at the right hand of the Father is one of the rarest features of the Pauline revelation. The problem of the authorship of Hebrews is settled. Hebrews is a part of that revelation. No one else could have given it as Paul has given it to us. It is a revelation of what Jesus did from the time he was made sin on the cross until he sat down on the right hand of the Father. That entire work is given to us in this wonderful unveiling. Not only did he make us know what Christ did for us in his substitution, but he has made us know what the Holy Spirit, through the Word on the ground of the substitutionary work of Christ, does in the individual life. There are really four phases of this revelation. First, what Christ did for us. Second, what the Holy Spirit, through the Word, does in us. Third, what Jesus is doing now at the right hand of the Father, for us. And fourth, what his love does through us in ministry. We spend much time studying what Christ has done for us, but very little time has been given to what he does in us, and less has been given to what he is now doing in his great high priestly office at the right hand of the Father. His entire ministry for us would have been a total failure had he not carried on a ministry now at the right hand of the Father, on our behalf. Jesus died as the Lamb. He arose as the Lord High Priest. His first ministry after he arose from the dead is illustrated in John 20:15-18. Jesus met Mary after his resurrection. She fell down at his feet, and no wonder. He said to her, "Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended unto the Father, but go unto my brethren and say to them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and my God and your God." What did he mean? He died as the substitute Lamb. He arose as the Lord High Priest. Hebrews 2:17, "Wherefore it behooved him in all things to be made like unto his brethren, that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people." He is a merciful and faithful high priest, not in things pertaining to man, but in things pertaining to God. The claims of justice had to be satisfied as well as the needs of man met. It was necessary that as a high priest, he should make propitiation for the sins of the people. This is recorded in Hebrews 9:11-12. "But Christ, having come a high priest of the good things to come, through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this creation, nor yet with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, entered in once for all into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption." Christ having come, from whence did he come? Out of the place where he had gone as a substitute, when he had met the claims of justice, where he had satisfied the claims of the Supreme Court of the universe against rebellious humanity. He had to carry his blood into the heavenly Holy of Holies and seal the document of our redemption with it. His blood is the guarantor now of the integrity of our redemption. Just as the high priest under the first covenant carried the blood into the Holy of Holies once a year and made a yearly atonement, Jesus carried his own blood and made an eternal redemption once for all. Atonement simply means to cover the sin of Israel while the sins were borne away by the scapegoat. The sin nature in man that had caused him to break the law, not the act, but the cause of the act, was antagonistic against God and had to be covered. Now Jesus came and put that nature away by the sacrifice of himself. Hebrews 9:26, "But now once at the end of the ages hath he been manifested to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." It was not the sins that man had committed. It was man's sin nature that had to be put away. That sin nature was spiritual death, the nature of Satan. His sins were small things that could be wiped out, but the sin nature required God's own beloved Son to become sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. He took our sin, that we might become righteous. He took our spiritual death, that we might have eternal life. He took our ostracism, our outlawed nature, that we might take the place of sons with the Father. Oh, the unmeasured grace of God unveiled in the sacrifice of Jesus. He carried his own blood into the heavenly Holy of Holies, and instead of making the yearly atonement, he gave us an eternal redemption. Hebrews 2:17, "Wherefore it behooved him in all things to be made like unto his brethren, that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the things pertaining to God." He is a merciful and faithful high priest. God had to be satisfied. The claims of justice had to be met. He was made sin, was under condemnation, and for 3 days and 3 nights, he was in hell, locked up in the prison house of death. The Supreme Court was able to absolutely justify him as our substitute and declare him utterly righteous. He met the demands of justice and was liberated. God said of him, This day have I begotten thee. What day was it? He was begotten. It was the third day down in the prison house of death that he was born again of the Spirit. That was his new birth. That was when we were recreated, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. He was there justified in spirit. Not only was he declared righteous, but he was made righteous with the very nature of God. Now, having been made righteous, having conquered Satan, stripped him of his authority, he arose from the dead, and the Supreme Court of the universe absolutely puts the stamp of approval on his work for us. Then he was able to go into the heavenly Holy of Holies and sit down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. He has made propitiation for our sins. That word propitiation means substitution. He has made substitution for the sins of the people. Having himself suffered being tempted, he is able to succor those that are tempted. Hebrews 3:1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of a heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession. Christianity is called a confession. The finished work of Jesus Christ is called a confession. Now you can understand Romans 10, 9, and 10, because if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord, Christianity is a confession. It is a confession of the finished work of Jesus. It is a confession that he is seated at the right hand of the Father, having perfectly redeemed us. It is a confession of our sonship, of our place in Christ, of our rights and privileges. It is a confession of our supremacy over disease and weakness, over Satan in the name of Jesus. What a confession that is. Hebrews 4:14 through 16 carries us a step farther in the development of this high priestly ministry of Jesus. Having then a great high priest who hath passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but one that hath been in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore draw near with boldness unto the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and may find grace to help us in time of need. The entire ministry of Jesus swings about this high priestly office. As a high priest, he carried his blood into the Holy of Holies. As a high priest, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. He is the mediatorial high priest between God and man. No man can reach the Father but through him. Jesus said, I am the way, the reality, and the life. No man can get to the Father but by me. Peter said, Acts 4:12, in none other is there salvation, for neither is there any other name under heaven that is given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus is the only way into the Father's presence without condemnation. Is it any wonder that the early church was called the Way? Acts 9:2, and asked of him letters to Damascus unto the synagogues, that if he found any that were of the way, or the man or woman, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Acts 19:9, but when some were hardened and disobedient, speaking evil of the way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus. Acts 19:23, and about that time there arose no small stir concerning the way. Also Acts 24:14 and 22, Acts 16:17, Isaiah 30 verse 21, and Isaiah 35 verse 8. He is not only the Lord High Priest, the mediator, but the moment a man accepts Christ, he becomes his high priestly intercessor. He ever lives to make intercession for the believer. Isaiah 53:12, Romans 8:34, and Hebrews 7:25. He is set forth as the intercessor for the believer. He ever lives to make intercession. What a ministry. What a service. He does not have a chance to take a vacation. He has no opportunity to step aside for a moment. No one else can act as high priest, as mediator, as intercessor. He has another important ministry. He is the advocate. When the believer is tempted and Satan gains the mastery over him and he cries out in agony for mercy, we hear him whisper, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Then he climaxes it by saying in the next verse, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye may not sin. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is righteous so that he can go into the Father's presence when we lose the sense of righteousness by our wrongdoings. As our advocate, he restores to us our lost sense of righteousness. He is the Lord and head of the church. David prophesied of him in Psalm 23:1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He is the caretaker, the lover, the bridegroom of the body. He is the firstborn from the dead, the head of all principalities and power. He is my risen Lord, seated at the Father's right hand. Follow me through the entire epistle of Hebrews, and you'll find a continual unveiling of these different phases of his high priestly ministry. Hebrews 4:14, having then a great high priest who hath passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. This is the high priestly son. Let us hold fast our confession. What is our confession? It is our redemption, our recreation, our union with the Father in Christ, our victory over circumstances and demons and disease, our independence in Christ of natural law. This high priest, knowing that man has received an inferiority complex on account of spiritual death, says, let us therefore draw near with boldness unto the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and may find grace to help in time of need. For we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but one that hath been in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. That word boldness means freedom of speech. In the Peshitta, there is a marginal reference which reads barefacedness. We are coming without any sense of guilt or sin, as a child would come to an earthly parent. For every high priest being taken from among men has infirmities. Jesus had no infirmities. He had nothing but what he took on from us. He did not come from the seed of Levi. He was not in the priesthood by birth. He is a priest after an order on the part of God. Hebrews 7:21, the Lord swear and will not repent himself, thou art a priest forever. By so much also hath Jesus become the surety of a better covenant. He is a high priest. He is the surety of this new covenant. The new covenant heads up in him. He was the sacrifice of the covenant. His blood was the blood of the covenant. His life was the life of the covenant. Now he is the surety of it. Every scripture from Matthew to Revelation is backed up by the Lord Jesus himself. His very throne is back of every word. Just as God became the surety of the Abrahamic covenant, Jesus now becomes the surety of this new covenant. He can be because he abideth forever. He hath his priesthood unchangeable. Wherefore also he is able to save to the uttermost them that draw near unto God through him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such a high priest became us. I think there is no sweeter expression in the entire revelation than this. Consider him in all his grace and beauty and his overflowing love. It is such a high priest becomes us. We are new creations. We are in the Beloved. We are the sweetest, most beautiful thing that the Father has. We are members of his own body. This Christ says in the 27th verse, first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people, for this he did once for all when he offered up himself. He was made sin for us. He made one sacrifice for sins forever. Then he sat down at the right hand of majesty on high. Do you realize what it means when it says he sat down? It means your redemption is a completed thing. You are healed. You are as well as Jesus in the mind of the Father. You are an absolute overcomer. Poverty, want, need are things of the past, that we might receive mercy and may find grace to help us in time of need. My God shall supply every need of yours. Your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Jesus demonstrated this in his earth walk. He fed the multitudes. He gave the disciples that great draught of fish. He turned water into wine. He healed the sick and met every need of man. That is my Lord. He is the mediator of this new covenant. He stands between humanity and the Father with the pierced hands and the wounded side and the thorn-scarred brow. He is the mediator. Do you think he will turn anyone away who comes to the Father? Never. Every unsaved man has a legal right to eternal life. Jesus takes his part and vouches for him the moment he says, God, I will take your son as my Savior and confess him as my Lord. Jesus' high priestly ministry meets every need of the believer from the moment he is born again until he is ushered into the presence of the Father at the end of life. You have heard this book read. It will do you no good unless you have made up your mind that you're going to act upon the scriptures quoted. The promises that cover your case are of no value until you act upon them. Believing is acting on the word. Faith is the result of action. But there can be no healing, no deliverance, no victory until you act on the word. You may get others to act for you. They will give you temporary relief. What you need is to learn to act for yourself.